Sometimes we need to be careful. Even though a door is open doesn't mean it's of the Lord always. You know, we want to use that sometimes as, and sometimes a door, you know, if it's of the Lord, the door is going to be open too. But we need to try the spirits, and we just need to find, and I just learned that God's will is something at some time. And from small to large, anyway, and I do this to give the Lord the credit, is I wanted to, you know, I just, okay, hey, I want to go, and you know, well, that wasn't, the timing was not right. And then, so I went from that in 2021 to last year, God wouldn't leave me alone about calling this man, that his daughter actually asked me to, if I would help him, and then God just put it all together. Anyway, long story short, what we're going to be doing there, last year we went there, and I found out this man's been in Nebraska for 33, 34 years. And I still can't believe this. Every time I was telling your pastor this at lunch, but there's 36 independent Baptist churches in the state of Nebraska. Many towns, and I don't have the figures in front of me, but there's many towns that don't have a church of any kind. It's mind-boggling. You know, my dad came down for Mason's graduation, and the thing he said about Alabama, he goes, there's churches everywhere. Yeah. I'll be honest with you, it turned him off. And be honest with you, there's 15 Baptist churches within 5 miles of our home church. You know, I mean, there's... And then I see, and then we're having a hard time getting preachers out here. I'll be real with you. Sometimes I have to get right with God and ask him to forgive me, because I get a little in the flesh. You know, so there's a Indian reservation there last year that we did a VBS and youth rally and revival. We set up the tent. They have no church of any kind on the Omaha reservation. They pronounce it Omaha, but it's spelled Omaha, and all the churches have went by the wayside. But now they've realized, because they have no hope, that they're committing suicide in droves. And we set up the tent, part of the tent, the ends, on the main street between the school and the park and the convenience store. And we boondocked there for a week, or just shy of a week, and ran it off the generator on our rig and different things. And it was amazing to see those kids. They would come out at 9 o'clock in the morning. VBS didn't start until early afternoon. And then we did the teen rally and the revival in the evening. They didn't leave till after dark. They started asking our kids to go to lunch with them and different things. And we just watched God. And I think we gave out 50 Bibles and like 75 New Testaments. And there's just some different things. And they literally, now this year they've asked us, they were trepidatious last year. God give us favor with them. And they have an 8-week program, a summer program for the kids to keep them out of trouble, to keep them doing something. The last week of that is the last week of July, and they are giving us that week to do VBS with the kids, a captive audience of the 60 to 100 native kids, and the couple that traveled with us all last year, they're coming out. I'm going to put him to the test. I told him, here, I said, I'll help you, but this is your baby. You're going to do this VBS, and he's really good with kids and different things, and there's... If we come back out here one of these next couple years to do a tent revival, we'll probably drag them out with us to help. They do a lot of music and different things, and they're a sweet couple. And I'm looking forward to seeing them. We miss them. And you spend a year with a couple, and it's their first year of marriage and everything. You bond, and so it's a blessing. And then we've got we're doing a youth rally in the evening with a bunch of public school kids. We've got about six. Public schools around there, and I have a friend of mine that's been pastoring for 2.5 years. I told the pastor I preached a revival. He was a businessman, and he surrendered and sold his house. Has a similar testimony to mine. And now his church is coming out. There's some of them's coming, his family, and they're coming out to help us with that. And then we've got another, we're the middle week, we're doing work projects because we've got a church that we're starting. We've got a new building, the ones that ask us to help. It's just like, God, you're dumping it on me here. I feel like I'm juggling, but I ask God, and I don't know if I've said this here or not, but when I surrendered, there's 8 years ago, I said, Lord, I'll do this if you let me go as hard for you the next 20 years, if you help me, because I'll need you as I went for myself the last 20 years. And he's like, hang on. And you know what? I don't want to just do things to do things. I want to do what God wants. Busyness is not necessarily God's will. I want something that God's all over and that he's in and that he's going to do something. So you pray. We'll be there for a month. And we've got a group, a guy out of nowhere, God. The only way to explain it. I had a friend of mine, a missionary builder that I know. I'm still praying for that gym, Brother Jason. I've met two more missionary builders. I'm getting, there's all this stuff, and there's, we'll get five or six of them in here. He calls me and he says, hey, I got this couple, this family, that they have contracting company and stuff, and they do a missions trip, and they don't have a place to go this year. And I knew you said that you could use some more help on this, and there's three different churches there in that area within an hour and a half. And I said, when? The exact week. This was like 3 weeks ago. And I just told the man last night, he called me, asked me some details and stuff, and I said, you're an answer to my prayer. And he goes, well, I'm thankful that I know we're where God wants us. I never met the man. I've talked to him on the phone several times. But God never ceases to amaze me if we'll just let him. It's so amazing. And then the week after, we're doing some more on the reservation and some other. We'll be starting the church. We're doing a fair ministry to start the one church there and get a, next Thursday, get a speak of their Bible study for that new church. It's not even ordination and things for the young man that and things. And just so many. We've got a couple that's coming out, spending us the whole month of August with us, traveling with us. It's called out here to plant or take a church. And so they're spending the whole month of August with us. They're going to be helping there. And they're praying about possibly even moving to that area in Nebraska for a few years to help with some things and as an intermediate to kind of learn and stuff. He's been an assistant pastor and worked in Christian school and things and stuff. So God is amazing. He's from Louisiana. I never met him. I just met him last year. Somebody said, hey, you need to talk to this man if you're called to the West. And it's just been, they're so excited every time I talk to him. He's like, oh, I can't wait. And so there's, but God always puts it together the way he wants. You know, he takes care of it. And, you know, sometimes I try to, you know, figure out things a little too much. So you pray, that's the next week, and then we'll be in South Dakota and Wyoming, northeastern Colorado. Last year I met a man that asked me to come and be part of preaching a conference in Fort Morgan, Colorado, the Baptist Circuit Riding Missions Conference, with a bunch of guys that just ride circuits or pastor multiple churches at once and, you know, different things, or keep churches, you know, pastor one church, keep another church going, you know, send guys or them themselves and go and preach and things like that. And just, it is basically to be an encouragement to them and things. And so, if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm 91. Kind of along some of the similar lines about being closer to the Lord and just different things of a walk with God. I tell you, I just believe with all of my heart that if we'll draw closer to God, everything else will take care of itself. I feel like we're trying to get the cart before the horse. We want to get everybody to conform and to do instead of getting closer to God and then that just comes out of it. And the longevity only comes when we're doing it with the right reasons. There's a, and if we do it ourselves, then our flesh dwells no good thing. I read that somewhere. You know, and that means when we're doing things in the flesh, if we're getting people to do things in the flesh, you know, it's, and I appreciate that about the church here. And my wife and I said, just like, man, I wish we could have been, come to the work day. And we've just had to learn that we can't be everywhere all the time. Because that's what we do. I mean, ones of you that don't know us that well, when we go to a church, we really, you know, a lot of these churches we're going to, we try to just be part of the church and help them in different things. And, you know, because it's a huge encouragement and it's a way of edifying them and lifting them up. You know, there's, so Psalm 91 in verse 1, the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for who you are. Father, that we have the opportunity to come before you. Father, that you want to hear from us. Father, much more than we want to talk to you, unfortunately. Help us, Lord, forgive us. Father, we need you tonight. Father, we thank you for meeting with us this morning. Father, I thank you for what you did in hearts. Father, I thank you for helping me to stay out of your way. Father, I need your help again, and I need you to do, Father, what only you can do. We ask that, Father, you would meet with us tonight. Father, you know what each and every one of us needs. Father, bind Satan by the blood of Jesus. Father, help us to understand your love. Father, I love you with all my heart and all my mind and all my soul and all my strength. Father, I know I love you the best way I know how, but Father, I don't know what love is the way you love. Help us to understand that love so we can love others in that way and we can love you in a greater way. Please help us, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You see here in Psalm 91, and we're going to be here, and then and actually mainly, yeah, in the Psalms here. And this has been on my heart for a while, and Lord gave me this message here a few weeks ago, and you read here in Psalm 91:1, look at this, and it says, and this is really where it starts, "He being us, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." The secret place. Where's the secret place? What is a secret place? What is that? I said earlier, I believe that if we would just draw nigh to God, the Bible tells us he'll draw nigh to us. If we'll get closer to God, we so much have this tendency that we just want to, I've arrived. I've surrendered to God. Okay, check it off the box. You know, I've got close to God. I've done this. I've got saved. I've got baptized. You know, I go to church. I do this and I do that. And it's all things that we make ourselves feel good or that we're okay. And honestly, are we ever, as long as we have this flesh, as Paul said, we walk in the flesh, hopefully we walk not after the flesh. Are we ever okay living on this earth in the flesh? I won't be. You think about that, the song we sung. I think about dwelling in Beulah land. I think about all these things and about, you know, I think about what it's going to be like to see Jesus, what it's going to be like to go to heaven. I know you young kids, it's hard to think that way, right? Especially you younger ones that, you know, you'd like to get married and whatever, you know, have kids or have your own family. And, you know, it's hard. But there's being with Jesus. You know, as Brother Jason said, it gets sweeter the older you get, and I believe so. You know, because I think our flesh is naturally dying. I mean, our flesh is dying every day. We're all getting older. You know, there's even if you're in your mid-20s, 30s, I mean, you're dying. You know, I'm in my mid-40s, sliding down to 50 now, as my kids say. And in our flesh is dying. But you know what? So we need God more. We need more God more every day. Some days I say, Lord, I need you to get me through this day physically. You know, when we're young and we can do it ourselves. But you know what? If we can just get the younger age, we can get this about, look at this in Psalm 91:1. I know the famous last words of a preacher, I'm not going to be long tonight, but Lord willing. Psalm 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That dwelleth. He dwelleth. Where do we dwell? You know, you live, you have a house. You want a house? I think it's just natural for ladies to want to have a home. You know, want to have that place of refuge, that dwelling place, right? It is for men to a certain extent, but it's even more so for ladies. Why is that? It's a comfort. It's a comfort. It's a refuge. It's a place that you can get out of and away from all the world and all the other things. It's a place you can kind of hide. It can be, you know, that you can get away from everything. That no one else can come unless you let them come. That's a dwelling. You think about that. So he that dwelleth, like we dwell in a home, right? You know, there's just because our home has a wheels, you know, it's still, we say, we're going home. People say, well, where's home? Our home's in heaven and wherever we're at. And, you know, there's it really is. We were without our home last fall for a month when the truck was down, and we would travel and different things. And man, we so much just wanted to get back to that, to our dwelling place, the place that we felt comfort. And it was a refuge that only people could come if we let them. So I want you to think about that. And then look at this. Look at this in Psalm 91:1. So he that dwelleth, like we do in a house, in, where are you dwelling? In the secret place of the Most High. The Most High. The Most High who? The Most High God. The one that dwelleth in the most, in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide. That's to stand, to be fixed. That's where I'm abiding. That's I'm abiding behind this pulpit right now, under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow. Under the shadow of the Almighty. You ever wonder why some people, they may have struggles and trials and different things in their life, but if they're doing what God wants them to. I remember last year when we were going to the reservation, and that wasn't the first place that we'd ever been. We were the only ones that had any experience working with natives that was there of either of those churches and the people that were helping. Those churches, some of the people were saying, I can't believe that you'll go. That place, it's a dangerous place. You're going to take your family. I was asked this multiple times. You're going to take your family and you're going to live there for almost a week. There, we're all going to leave. You're setting up your tent, your equipment, and all this stuff, and you're going to stay there. Yeah? Why not? That's what God wants me to do. And if that's what God wants me to do, He'll protect me. And you know what? If He allows anything to happen, He has a reason for it. And you know what? That's not my equipment anyway, it's God's. If God wants, if He wants to take the tent, if He wants to take the sound system, if He wants to take all the other stuff, whatever it is, then so be it, it's His. God giveth and taketh away. But you know what? It's under the shadow of the Almighty. We're under the shadow of Almighty. How many times do I see we work with boys and girls' homes and now, you know, men's homes and different things? And I was in Richmond, Virginia for the first time this year at a men's home. Unbelievable ministry. Guy was homeless for 20 years, from 13 to 33. Started this, now he's in his mid-70s. Unbelievable testimony of what God's done. And I mean, God's just all over that place. Inner city, Richmond, Virginia. I mean, I'm a country boy. We're driving down here and it's dark. We were a little behind and I was trying to get there in the daylight. And I'm like, this is rough. Really rough, especially for this country boy. I'm like, okay, Lord. You know. You know what? They have two square blocks now that God's given them right in the middle of this. And it's like God's hand is just right there. I'd be scared to death to take my kids down the street outside of that. But inside that couple blocks, it was like the complete peace of God. It was like God's hand was just that shadow of the Almighty. It was just all over it. And it was just amazing. I can't even completely explain it, how that is in those things. And, you know, if we truly trust in Him, God will do it. The reason He won't do it is because we won't trust in Him. You know, all these things, we look at man's wisdom. We look at the world's wisdom instead of God and ask Him, instead of believing God like I talked about this morning. But you know what? I want you to think about that. But how do we get that way? He that dwelleth, where we live in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He'll protect us. I don't want to know what God protects us from. I know some of the things God's protected us from. I don't want to know, honestly, what he truly protects us from. But you know what? Look at this in verse 2. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, a place we go. The place we go, my refuge. Where do you run to? I don't care how young you are or how old you are, how long you've been a Christian, how short a time you've been a Christian, but where do you run to when you struggle, when things are tough? Where? What's your refuge? Is it Facebook? Is it somebody else? Look, I counsel a number of people, and sometimes I just have to tell people. You know what? And the Holy Spirit will show you. It's like, you've got to stop coming to me, and you've got to start going to God. Because I've done what I can do. And the only thing I can do is point them to Christ. You know, there's, because we have to. He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Because if he's truly our refuge, if he's truly our fortress, if he's truly our high tower, you know, and we could go on and on and on. You want to be close to God? You start praying. I challenge you, Cornerstone Baptist Church, to start praying who God is. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the great I am. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my high tower. You know, there's, and we could go on and on and on. He's, you know, there's, we could just go on and on and on and on and pray that you'll not be able to do anything but to draw nigh to God. I promise you. It will help you. And when I'm struggling, I feel like I'm not as close. It's like, Lord, I don't feel like I'm there. You know, I want to be in that secret place. I want to be where, you know what, I can just shut out the whole world and different things. And, you know, even in church, sometimes it's hard because all the things that are going on and all the busyness sometimes, and some of you may have noticed this, but years ago, God put on my heart that some music or if somebody's singing up here, a lot of times I'll close my eyes because what that does is that gets all that distraction away. Because I truly want to be in that secret place. I want to be. I'm not saying I don't have this. I'm as fleshly as anybody. I have just as much flesh as you do. We all do. But it's what we're doing with the war against it. It's what we're allowing, if we're allowing that to be the default mode or not. And a lot of that has to do is if we want to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. We have a desire to dwell there in that secret place. Because that we block all of that stuff out, all these things. It can even happen, you know, when we're going down the road, it can happen, you know, throughout the day, you're struggling in different things. You don't need, just that time, it's like, Lord, I need you when, you know, where you don't even have to shut your eyes, where you're there and you're with the Lord, but that secret place is where you and him spend intimate time together. And the more time we spend with him, what is it? How does that work? The more time we spend with anybody, the more we get to know him. So the more time, true intimate time we spend with the Lord, the better we get to know him. And the closer we get to him. The more we see Jesus for who he is, and the more we see ourselves for who we are, who we really are, in our flesh, in all of that. And that the more we realize how much further we need to get, be closer to him. But we have to, that secret place of the Most High. He that dwelleth in the secret place through the shadow of the Most High shall abide under the shadow. and my fortress, the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my snare, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He will deliver thee from the spit and from the noise pestilence. See how much, I mean, it's obvious because he's in these things with God in his secret place that he, I mean, he's confident over thee with his feathers, it says in verse 4. And under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. We won't worry about what's going on. We won't worry about what's going on tomorrow. We won't worry about what the people are going to do around us. We don't worry about what the people are going to say and all these things or what they're going to think. Because you know what? God already told us what they're going to think. They didn't like Him. And they're not going to like us. They hung Him on a cross. Thankfully, for our sake. Think about that. That helps me. That helps me. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. If we're spending time in the secret place with the Lord, fear will not be a factor. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee, because you've spent time with God. I'm talking true time. This stuff of Bible reading and devotions, I'm all about that, but if you're not spending time in the secret place with the Most High God, you're not getting it done and you're missing it. And you can tell people that do. It's all there is to it. You're missing it. And you're not missing it because God like picks somebody over somebody else. It's because you want to. One person wants to and one person doesn't. Do you need Him? Do you realize how much you need Him? Do you realize how weak you are and how strong He is? Think about that. Because if that's the case, then you'll want to spend time and dwell in that secret place of the Most High God. Look at this in Psalm, turn with me to Psalm 81. It's a very, very simple thought, but it's very hard to get and to stay here because we have to want it, and there's so much in our life. And part of it is our flesh and everything around us that draws away. Psalm 81 and verse 7, the Bible says, Thou callest in trouble, and I deliver thee. See what it says there? I answer thee in the secret place of thunder. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, look in verse 8, Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. If you'll listen. Do you know God's all there? His thoughts are much more about us than we have about Him. He wants to talk to us way more than we want to talk to Him. Let's be honest. That pains me to say that, but I'm included. My God wants to talk to me more than I want to talk to Him. Lord, forgive me. That should convict us because it's the truth. I'm thankful He's a whole lot more faithful than I am. I'm thankful He loves me a whole lot more than I love Him. I mean, this is Sunday night. You come here Sunday night, we all could use to be closer to God. Let's be honest. And there's some people that love the Lord in this room, I know for a fact. Very much so. And some, there's a number of people that know in this room, I know. I've seen it myself. That spent time in the secret place, the Most High. I've seen the fruit of it. But you know what? We still need to do more, and we need to be closer to Him. And there's, because these things, look at this. Look in Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. Like I said, we'll just be in Psalms here. Psalm 27 and verse 5, the Bible says, "For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock." See, we want these things, and we want all the things, and we want all the benefits of God, and we want, oh, you know, He'll set me up on a rock. He'll do this, and He'll protect me, and He'll do all these things, and He will do all them. But many times, we have to trust Him. We have to spend time with Him. He knows our heart. We're the problem. He's not. But you know the neat thing about the Lord? We can continue to struggle and continue to struggle. And all we got to do is cry out to Him, "Lord, forgive me for whatever it is. I just want to be closer to You. I want You to use me. And it's amazing. You don't have to understand how, because He'll just do it. You just better hang on for the ride. I'm telling you, because it's amazing. But you better be spending some time in the secret place of the Most High God. That's not just reading your Bible, checking off a box, and praying. Now I lay me down to sleep, as I tell my kids. That's what I ask them when I ask them if they spend time with God sometimes. I don't do as much as I used to when they said they do, and I'll question them. It's like, oh, now I lay me down to sleep. No, spending quality time, true time with in the secret place, your secret place. But Leo, your secret place is not the same as my secret place, even though it's with the same God. Brother Jordan's secret place is not the same as mine or his, but it's with my God and His God. See, because He's my God, but He's His God too, and your God. And you know what? You can have it if you want it, but you have to spend time in the secret place, the Most High God. But look at this, and turn with me to Psalm 31. I've just got a few more here, and I'm done. Psalm 31, verse 19 and 20. Psalm 31 and verse 19, "Oh, how great is Thy goodness, which Thou hast laid up for them that fear Thee, which Thou hast wrought for them that trust in Thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of Thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." How many times do people say things that hurt us? I can't even fathom the amount of people, amount of Christians, people that are in the ministry that say, "I've been hurt. I've been hurt. I've been hurt. I've been hurt." That's like the excuse. "I've been hurt." Well, you know what? You've never been hurt as much as Jesus was hurt. You know what? And I'm not trying to be insensitive to anyone. And I don't, and that's not my heart. But you know what? I've been hurt many, many, many a times. And I'm only going to be hurt if I allow myself to be hurt. And if I spend time, as it's talking like here, there's the strife of tongues. I'm only going to allow things to bother me if I'm operating in the flesh and I'm not walking in the spirit and I'm not walking in that secret place with my Most High God. Because none of it doesn't matter. People can say things, they can do things to you. And you know what? You know. You can look and all this stuff, and I don't watch a lot of news and all this, but you know what? And as I was talking to somebody before church tonight and about news control. And you know what? I think we need to remind other people who's in control. Whether they think you're crazy or not, God can use that someday. Because they can see that. Well, God's in control, and you know, at some point, and they're going to blow you off and think you're crazy or whatever, but you know what? God can use that. You know, that's part of them seeing. You must be right with God to meet in the secret place. That's our problem a lot of times. If we experience that secret place with our Most High God, to a place where you just want it more than anything else. That's why David was recorded in God's Word to be a man after God's own heart, because he so badly wanted to be close to God, he always got right with God, because he knew the only way he could be close to God is to be right with him. Turn with me to Psalm 32. Psalm 32 in verse 5. You must be right with God to meet in the secret place. Psalm 32 in verse 5, it says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Doesn't everything start with us humbling ourselves? I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquities have I not hid. Not that we can really hide anything from him anyway. But he wants to hear and understand that we understand. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee. In a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. Look at that in verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the ways which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. What does God do in the secret place? He will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I'll guide thee with mine eyes. Be ye not as the horse. This is what we struggle with. Be ye not as the horse, Joy. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which has no understanding, whose mouths must be held with a bit or a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Don't make God make you, like, put things and circumstances in your life to get you where he wants you to be. Don't. That's what we got to do with a horse or a mule. We got to drag them around with something in their mouth and that they don't like and all those kind of things. That's what he's saying. Just spend time with him. Just get closer to him. And you'll want to do what he wants you to do. That's what this Christian life's all about, is that if you get a hold, truly understand who your God is and who God Almighty, the real, true, and living God, the great, and the true I am, the one that spoke this world into existence. The God, I believe, my Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means we serve the same God. Do you believe that? We need some people and some Christians that understand and believe that with all of their heart, and that God can then do something with them, that they just want to spend time with Him in a secret place, and that they won't allow all the things of this world. We've got to take off our mask. We've got to be real, and we've got to just spend time with Him is the only way we're going to get like that. Otherwise, we're just going to operate in the flesh. And we're just going to say the right things and do the right things, and we're just putting on a show. Feel better. And a lost and dying world doesn't want anything to do with it. What does God do in the secret place? He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. The Bible says the steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. Spend time in the secret and on. But if we don't spend time in place, our secret place with our God, we can't try hard enough. We really can't. We can't try hard enough. We can't do enough things. You can go in the ministry, you can surrender your life and do that, but unfortunately, and the sad part about it is, I see too many people that are even in the ministry, they've given their life to God. But even, and don't get me wrong, you can give your life to God. We all need to give our life to God and not be in the ministry full time. A lot of that's just, I don't want to get off on that, but that's a crux. We just all need to be surrendered to God. Because, man, I've seen some people. I was just in Warm Springs, Oregon, on the reservation there. Had no idea they were having a memorial. Until I got there, they're having a memorial for a man that was in the church that had a ranch at the rodeo that day. The day we got there on Friday and on Saturday. I took some tracks down there and had no idea the influence that man had. He was a deacon in the church. And he loved the Lord. He knew the Lord. And you know what? He was a deacon in the church. He was a rancher. He was on the council, on the native council. At one point, the chief of the council. They're on an Indian reservation, and I know they said Warm Springs Baptist Church 6 times and gave testimony of what this man did. Just guys working for him. He was taking them out, riding in a truck. Remember I said this morning, we're one way at church. And around Christians, and we're another way. We're not. It's because we don't spend. We don't. Our life is not revolved around God, regardless of what we're doing. Because you know what? I don't care whether you work, what time you do, or what your life is. If you'll spend, nothing else will matter. Amen. Yep. It's amazing. Amen. It's unbelievable. Kids, listen to me. I really started to understand this as a young teenage boy. I may have shared this here before because I just wanted to have a relationship with my dad. And my mom taught me to pray to God. And my God knew how much I wanted it. And you know what? It was so amazing because I got a relationship with a father, my heavenly father. And it's helped me so much. It's helped me so much. And it's just went and went and went. And you know what? It could be a whole lot further if I would let it and just spend more time in the secret place with my Most High God. No matter what happens to me, I just go back to that secret place with Him where nothing else matters. That's how we can escape. It's like heaven on earth. It's that place. You know what? And when the more time you spend there, the more time you just want to go to heaven. This land's not our home. Yeah. We're just a passing through. But can you really honestly sing that and mean it? this land's not our home. We're just passing through. I'm old enough to realize how fast it goes. This life is but a vapor. We just need to spend time in our secret place, the Most High God. Let's stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm not going to belabor this. I'm just going to pray. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, please don't leave here today without getting this settled. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that you're always there when I need you, when I want to talk to you. Father, when I got to get right with you. Father, when things get tough on this earth, whether it be other people or self-inflicted, Father, you're so amazing that even when I can cause it, you still want to hear from me. Father, you love us so much. Please help us, Lord. Help some people get a hold of this, maybe that's never gotten a hold of it before. Father, that they'll just want it and you'll show yourself real to them like you never have. Father, some of us that know this, but we need to do it more and we need to stay there more and we need to abide there more. Father, help us. You know what each and every one of us need. Please, Lord, help us in only the way you can. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. As the music plays, whether you need to spend some time in your secret place, whether you need to do it at the altar at your seat, whether you want to sit down or whatever, just take the time.